about where you decide to be, and we're looking forward to the Lord opening our eyes to a few things, but good to see you. Okay, second chapter of the book of Acts. Go down to the end. We're going to read the final verses. 44, all the way down to 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we're reading a very happy account of the first New Testament church. And you know what? They're praising God. They're loving each other. They're happy. You'd like to be there with them. There after the day of Pentecost, they had church every day. Every day, kind of like revival meetings. And you know what? They took in members every day, not just every Sunday. And it was a pretty wonderful time to be at that church. I'm going to tell you, when a church is in revival, it's a wonderful time to be there. And people smile, people are real, and you can feel God in the room. Wow. What we're reading here is about a Baptist church revived. Now, you're already thinking I'm being prejudiced. But it really is. Yesterday, we have learned about what is defined the Baptist people. You know what? This is not about a denomination where somebody founded them, like Luther or Wesley or somebody like that. We're really talking about people who have been designated Baptist down through the centuries because they follow the Bible. That's what the whole thing is about. Yesterday, we learned about the principle of those who are called Baptist. Did you know the Christians were not named Christians by Christ? They were named Christians by critics. But they accepted the name so that divinely inspired scripture uses the word Christian about believers in Jesus Christ. Now, did you know that if you are labeled with a label that's accurate, accept it? See, I'm serious. I know there are a lot of people who are promoting their church, trying to build their religious organization on the idea we are not denominational. Well, can I tell you something? That the dictionary and theology books give us definitions of some of the designations that have been given to the churches that define us by our doctrine. I used to tell the country church I pastored for those 34 years, there is nothing we believe because the Baptists believe it. I've never looked up a Baptist theology book and said, what do I believe? What we believe is because we find it in the Bible. But we found out that what we believe and practice from the Bible makes us Baptists by historic and dictionary definition. And I accept the label. I know people say, I don't like a church with a label on it. Well, let me take you down to the grocery store. What if I walked in there and noticed that none of the cans had labels? I said, I want some baked beans. They said, that's aisle 5. I go down to aisle 5. How can I tell where the baked beans are? Well, potluck. That's no way to do that. Did you know that denominational names on churches are not about division or pride? It's about honesty. That's who we are. So anyway, we learned about the principle, which is follow the Bible, the practices of all of those who have followed the Bible down through the centuries, which we call the Baptist distinctives, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you something. There are Baptist churches that know nothing about the power of the Holy Spirit. I know some Baptist people who think that's Pentecostalism. That shows how off we have got to be. Because the original church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And this morning we talked about the people of the church got a better idea of a church and a reason to be a member. But now, you know what? Reading this exciting part, we come to the bottom line. Who can tell me? You got your Bible open. What is the last word in the chapter? This is the bottom line. the bottom line of New Testament practice, New Testament power, the bottom line of all this getting things together to be followers of Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, what's that last word? Saved. Yeah. You know what? I notice the service before I get up. I always do. Pretty interesting to me. You probably didn't notice this, but the prelude. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now, I should tell you, I only have one more service here. I never get asked to sing in church, so I go ahead and ask myself. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. First time I ever heard the song was at the Sword of the Lord conference years ago. Saved by the blood, and then he is able to deliver thee. See, the bottom line is saved. Dear God, we ask you that everybody you brought to church today will be saved and will know they're saved. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, I live in an area of the country up in Michigan near the town of Frankenmuth. How many of you North Carolina people know where Frankenmuth is? Okay, there we go. See, it's a tourist attraction. I don't know what attracts the tourists there to this German town. All you can do there is spend money. It's not anything fun. It's just money spending. It's all it is. But it's very Lutheran. It was founded by Lutheran missionaries in the 1840s, and they have two Lutheran churches in the town, thoroughly Lutheran, no question about that. But I have talked to Lutherans who have said to me, saved? Isn't that the Baptist way of saying confirmed? Now, friends, I want to tell you, saved is not a Baptist word, and it's not the Baptist way of saying confirmed. In the book of Matthew that introduces the world to Jesus Christ, Joseph, his foster father, is told, name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior. Okay, now watch. He came to save us from our sins, and the church has a goal, a purpose. The whole program is about getting people the gospel of Jesus Christ and getting people saved. That's what the whole thing, that's the bottom line. Now, I've been traveling for 12 years for the cause of revival. A lot of good things about revival. Did you know when you get your heart right with God, it feels good? Did you know it feels better to be clean than it does to feel dirty? Yeah. And you know, to surrender your life, there are people in this room who are afraid to surrender their life without reservation to Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you, it feels great. You know, I remember having a person say to me, you know, I have trouble getting off the fence. The world, Jesus, I have trouble getting off the fence. I said, have you ever thought about that metaphor, that word picture, sitting on the fence? Doesn't sound very comfortable to me. Here you've got enough of the Lord in you that you can't enjoy the world. Got enough of the world in you that you can't enjoy the Lord. I'll tell you, it's a lot better to get both feet on the right side. And I can tell you, dedicated, it's great, but it's a means to an end. Being a part of this church is a means to an end. You know what that is? To get people rescued from sin and its consequences. And you know what? Ever since Adam sinned, there have been lots of consequences. Read about them in the paper. If you want to be depressed, listen to Fox News. See what's happening. It's awful. It's all about sin. And the only one who can rescue us is Jesus. And that's what this whole thing's about. Now watch. Saved is the bottom line. So what is that telling us? Watch this. Number one, get saved first. Look up at verse 40. Now Simon Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the gospel and announced to everyone in Jerusalem that Jesus, the one that they had put to death on Passover, had risen from the dead and was the Savior of the world. And then look at this. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'll probably get to explain that before I get done. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So he says, save yourselves from your generation. Okay, we'll learn about that later. And now watch 1, 2, 3. What happened? They gladly received his word. They heard the gospel. They believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for a purpose, to pay for our sins, that he rose again bodily from the tomb, and he's alive today, able to save us to the uttermost. Okay. And they believed that if we would put our trust in Jesus, we'd be saved forever and not have to go to hell. Wow. They gladly received his word. So the first thing they did was get saved. Now watch this. Right after they got saved, they got baptized. How many of them? Day of Pentecost, one day, Baptist church, evangelist got up and preached the gospel. How many of them got saved and then got baptized? Come on, you can say it. You talk out loud. Now there are 120 members, men, women, and children of the church until this invitation was given. Now 3,000 people not only wanted to get saved, they wanted to go all the way and get baptized. Okay, listen to me. I suspect that more than the ordained Baptist preachers did the baptizing. Do the math all day long. And baptism, of course, was by dipping in the water. So here they are, 3,000 people. Then number three, they were added unto them. Added unto who? The church, the congregation, like the last verse. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So 1, 2, 3. Saved, baptized, members of the church. 1, 2, 3. That's how it's done. Matter of fact, that's how you save yourself from your generation. Jesus Christ died for us. He can save you in an instant from the consequences of your sins. I'm talking about he can save you from going to hell. And I'm so glad that even though I have sinned, I'm not going to hell, because the Son of God paid for my sins. Okay, now watch. But to save yourself from your generation, my generation were the baby boomers. Okay, baby boomers, bad, bad. 1960s, Woodstock, drugs, pretty well every problem we've got. Our problem today is that my generation is running the country. See, I could go into that by being into politics, wouldn't I? But I tell y'all, most of my generation was wrecked by the time we were 30 years old. I had friends in high school who died, or whose brains were burned out by LSD, or who had already been married and divorced. Awful, awful thing. And I'm glad that my Lord not only saved me from my sins and from hell, he saved me from my generation. Every generation. Study Proverbs is about the generations. All generations are marching to hell. All generations have major flaws. We need to be rescued from our generation. You know how that's done? Joining the church. See, you'll be saved from hell instantly when you trust Jesus. But you have to do 1, 2, 3 to be saved from your generation. Where you go to the church and you're taught a different way to think and a different way to live. March to a different drummer. I didn't go to Woodstock. What an awful mess that was that they glorify today. But I tell you, I dropped out of my generation by being saved, baptized, and then joining a Bible preaching church. 1, 2, 3. Now, the so-called churches have messed up that order. Many of them teach that it goes this way. Baptized. The baby's born. Don't you want him to be a Christian? Okay, so we'll baptize him down there at the church. Only it's not Bible baptism. Bible baptism was being dunked in the water. You can tell that by just reading your Bible. It's obvious. They dipped him in the river. Okay, that's how they... But, okay, we're not going to mess with that, but we can sprinkle your baby with a couple of drops of holy water, which doesn't exist. Okay? And that'll baptize him, and also will give some promise that he'll be a Christian. Don't you want him to be a Christian? My parents, when I was 3 months old, took me down to the Centenary Methodist Church, Richmond, Virginia, and I was christened. Okay? So they get the order wrong, baptized, and then when you hit a certain age, you get confirmed. Go to the classes, and the reverend will say that you're approved, and you become a member. The order is baptized, added, and then if you keep your nose clean and watch your P's and Q's and live right before till you die, you'll be saved. And I'm going to tell you, that's not a formula for getting to heaven. That's a formula for going to hell. And people who saw that in the Bible, that you get saved first by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you follow it up by publicly professing your faith through baptism. Then you join his organization, the church. 1, 2, 3. When they saw that was in the Bible, even though it was contrary to the state church and could get you in real trouble, they were willing to live and die for it. It was a matter of life and death. You and me, it's just about, we're going to the Baptist church. We don't go to the Methodist anymore. We go, okay, well, maybe family members think you've gone crazy or something like that, but we don't pay much of our price. But do you know what? This was so serious. It was an issue of life and death. And down through the centuries, people have said, no, that christening meant nothing. I have taken Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to get baptized the Bible way. A lot of people were killed. A lot of people died over that because it was serious. A lot more than a label. It wasn't just what church. It was, am I going to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And the other way confuses people. See, aren't there evangelical Presbyterians, especially in the South? Aren't there gospel-preaching Methodist churches? Well, just very few. Okay, yeah, but the setup confuses people. When you get baptized as a baby, before you even remember it, see, your mind seems to say, I'm a Christian, when you're not. But you know, when you go to a church where they won't baptize you till you repent and take Christ as Savior, it becomes clear that you must be born again. You with me on that? So it was worth living and dying for. I was in Canada preaching somewhere, part of the country, I'll tell you later if you want to know, that is dominated by a religious movement that has gone overboard on several things. They pour water for baptism. Okay, I'm not making an issue of that now. And they do that at a certain age in your life. And the worst thing you can ever do is get rebaptized, like get saved and get immersed in a Baptist church. That's the worst thing that can ever happen. So this church has been spreading the gospel through this town in Canada for years. And God has blessed the gospel, and a lot of people have got saved. Well, I made a real point that Sunday morning about the importance of getting baptized. I mean, it doesn't get you to heaven, but I tell you, you can't be a good Christian without being baptized. Somebody would say, can I be a Christian without being baptized? Well, technically, you can be a believer before you get baptized. But yeah, you can be a Christian without being baptized. A lousy one. So I made that point. And a lot of the members of the church had come out of that religion, false religion, where they were threatened by their family. If you get rebaptized, as they called it, boy, I'll tell you, we're cutting you off forever. But I didn't know about this. A guy about where Brother Childs is at the end of the service, at the end of the sermon, he started to come forward where we gave an invitation. He walked up to the front, and there was a lot of commotion because people were excited. He was 80-some years old. Not that that's old. Okay, no. He was 80-some years old, came to the front, took the pastor's hand. I didn't hear him, but he said, I'm ready to get baptized. The story was, more than 10 years ago, he came to Christ out of that religion, trusted Christ, but he didn't dare get baptized. No. All of his family would be upset. They would cut him off. But he finally saw the issue. He said, Pastor, I'm going to get baptized because Jesus commanded it. Lots of excitement. Got baptized Sunday night. Up there at the baptistry, there he was. And I'll tell you, there was so much excitement, amens and hallelujahs, and it was a gigantic step, a step for which many people have died. And there are people in this room putting off baptism like it's not important. Don't you think it's important to be a good Christian? Or are you just going to let the blood of Jesus get you into heaven? Get the most out of him as you can get without lifting a finger for him. Why won't you identify yourself with him? No, the right order is received his word, baptized, added to the church. So that's the priority. Number one is get saved. Don't join the church. Come to Jesus. Let him save you. Number two, I'll say this really quickly. Number two, get saved. Number one, get saved first. Look back at verse 21 of chapter 2. Would you look at verse 21? Simon Peter is preaching the gospel to the people in Jerusalem. And he includes this verse. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise repeated three times in the Bible in almost the exact same words. Book of Joel, Book of Acts, Book of Romans. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, friends, the plan of salvation, how to get to heaven, is found in one word, saved. Now, that word doesn't make sense if you think you're earning your way there. I know people think that it's a game. If I can do more good than I do bad, they'll let me in. It's points. We think that we get up there to the pearly gates, and I'll be glad I helped that little old lady across the street because I just got enough points. See, or I'll be pretty sad that I said that dirty word before having that headlong collision. You know, I want you to think how awful that way of thinking about eternity is. Points. I'm earning points. I'm getting demerits and I'm getting merits, minus and plus. Let's see how it adds up at the end. And God himself is the game master. And it's all points. How awful that is. What a slander against God that would be. But some of you think that's the way it is. See, it doesn't make sense. We don't get to heaven by earning the points. We get to heaven by being saved. See, I grew up thinking that I was a good boy. My mother told me I was. But actually, later I got thinking I was a good boy. I thought if I just keep my nose clean and don't go to prison or do anything terrible, I'll just march right into heaven when I die. But the Bible teaches that there are laws, not arbitrary laws. Laws built on the very nature of a holy God. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. Thou shalt not. And we, all of us, have broken those laws. Repeatedly, deliberately, we have no excuse. We have broken God's law. And everybody is a condemned sinner. You too. You might say, I haven't been so bad. Well, I talked to a guy up there at Mayville, Michigan, who said, I'm not such a bad guy. And I said, I hope you'll forgive me for this. I'm in your house. But I've been here for 30 minutes. And I know, he said, I've never hurt anybody. I know of somebody you offended a great deal in the last 30 minutes. That's God. In the last 30 minutes, about four times, I've heard you take his name in vain. Use his name in a very disrespectful way. You have harmed him. Yes, you have. You might say, well, that's just a word. They use it on TV all the time. That's a good reason to keep the set off. Blaspheme God. Thou shalt not. What does the commandment say? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, God tells you ahead of time what will happen on Judgment Day. If you one time attached his name to a cuss word or used it as punctuation by one time, you know what's going to happen. You don't have to wonder. God says, He will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. You know what will happen on judgment day? God will say, guilty. And you were warned. See, we have all sinned. And we've done enough to deserve to go to hell. Okay? Unless somebody saves us from hell. The plan of salvation is in one word, it's saved. I need someone who can rescue me from the just deserts of my actions. And his name is Jesus. He never sinned himself. By a miracle, he came into the world as the Son of God and the Son of Man, the virgin conception, virgin birth. Why did he come into the world as a true man who never sinned? So he could take the blame for your sins. And 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on the cross, he was heard to say, "It is finished." At that moment, he paid your way out of hell. Paid your way out of hell and rose again from the dead so he could be alive right now and save your soul. What you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord and get saved. And friends, I know one reason you're in church today is for you to get saved. And if you can understand what I'm talking about, you can get saved. You come to Jesus and tell him you're a sinner. Thank him for dying for your sins. Tell him you believe he rose from the dead and ask him to save your soul. And it's done. This church won't save you. Joining this church won't save your soul, but this church is a good place to meet the one who will. So, save, the bottom line. Get saved first. That's where you go. First, you meet Jesus. Number two, get saved. It's Jesus that saves you from your sins. Call upon his name. Then number three, go all the way. Go all the way. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They got saved, baptized, joined the church. Go all the way. Now, I've heard all the excuses because I've been a pastor. You know, I've had people say, "Now I believe in God." They might even say, "I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the organized church." And what I always said back was this: come to our church, we're not organized. As if the church was the preacher's idea. It was Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." It's his idea. What do you think you can do without? Now that you're a Christian, can you do without following Jesus? What can you do without prayer? Do you think a Christian ought to pray? Yeah. We have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." A very important part of the Christian life after you're saved is to communicate with God. Okay? Do you think we can do without prayer? Do you think we can do without the Bible? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Do you think I can just let the Bible sit there on the coffee table and collect dust? Or do you think I ought to read the Bible? What do you think? What part can we leave out? Dedication? Well, I'm going to tell you, don't leave out church. I'm not just talking about showing up once in a while. I'm talking about being an active member of his organization. See, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Yeah, here you go. I've been hurt. I can tell you a horror story. I can tell you I know a whole lot more horror stories than you do. They're all hypocrites. You want to find out how many hypocrites there are in church? Ask a pastor. I've sure known a lot of hypocrites. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not why I'm a part of the church. I'm a part of the church because I want to go all the way. And because one day I'll meet him. And he'll want to know why. Why? Why? I went to the cross, but you wouldn't go into the baptismal pool. Why? I identified with your sins, but you will not confess me before men. Be a part of the church. You tell me why. Hebrews chapter 10 says that we should assemble ourselves together. The church is the congregation. We need to congregate, not just be a member on the books, but actually a part of what's going on at Maranatha Baptist Shelby. Boy, we like a preacher to come talk in general terms about this old world and about God and his great principles. But you know what? When God talks about the church, he's talking about a local congregation. Talk about this place. Yeah, and it's all part of the plan. He came to deliver you from your sins, and that's not just hell. Right? Not just hell. He came to deliver us from our sins and from our generation. Okay, now watch. Call on the name of the Lord, you won't go to hell. The blood of Jesus will wash you clean. Your name is in his book. He has reserved a mansion for you. But watch. It won't necessarily save you from your generation. I know saved people, and I think their testimony is credible, who go the direction of their generation. You know, they like what their generation likes. They do what their generation does. All these generations got labeled the last few years. Like, baby boomers and Generation X, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I don't know what they are. But all of them have their flaws. The millennials, oh boy, they're beating up on the millennials now. That's my generation. I'm going to tell you, all of them ruin their lives and end up in hell. Well, I'm not going to hell because I'm saved. But you're still in your generation, and you're going to have all the heartaches and misery, misunderstanding. You're going to wreck your life because you're marching in the parade of your generation. Terrible. How do you get out of that? Drop out. When I was a teenager in the 1960s, members of our generation said they were going to drop out, meaning they're not going to work. They're going to get on welfare to protest the system. Figure that out. Yeah, I mean, that's what they did. Woodstock, all that stuff. I'm going to drop out. Well, I'll tell you what. On the day I was baptized, you know what I was saying? Goodbye, cruel world. I'm not in the world. I'm crucified to the world. Book of Galatians. I'm through. And I learned to live a different way by being a part of the church. I was retrained. You need to be retrained. You think wrong. You need to have the renewing of your mind through the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You need to join up with a pastor and good people on the mission of rescuing our city. That's where you need to be, as young as you can be. You need to be a bona fide member of the church and start getting involved in the cause of Christ. I'm going to tell you. You know what that'll do, among other things? Save you from your generation. Yeah. I fly different places. I drive different places. When I fly, I always carry my Bible. Why do you carry your Bible? I read it. Got to do something on the plane. But also, you know, people identify me. I've had people actually change seats because I sat next to them. But usually it's good news. But I tell you, they know something different there going on. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for the difference. And I'm glad I'm not going down the hole that everybody else is going down, because they are. I don't want to sound like an old man, but I'll tell you, kids today are being ruined by our country. But I'll tell you what, if you'll get saved by calling on the name of the Lord and then save yourself from your generation by joining the church and becoming an active member, you're going to be fine. Happily married, peace in your heart, no suicide, not messed up by addictions. You're going to go right along as if it wasn't 2019. You millennials are going to be a bright light in a dark world if you'll save yourself from your generation. Wow. By going all the way. Saved, baptized, members. Now, I know we always end up a Baptist service in the same way. Ritual. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. This is a secret. Not going to do that right now. Who would say to me, we're looking at each other, balcony? I don't know what this is. But watch. Who would say to me, Brother Flanders, I'm not ashamed to tell you that I'm a Christian. I would be glad to confess him before men, because he saved me from my sins. And I've never been the same since the day I called upon the name of the Lord. If that's you, young or old, male or female, member or visitor, raise your hand. I'm looking. All right, I'm not going to embarrass you. Take your hands down. How many of you would say this? Now, we're being honest with each other, right? Who would say that I am saved? According to the Bible, I'm going to heaven when I die. But you know what? I haven't been baptized yet. Not the Bible way under the water. I've never publicly acknowledged my faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible way, by getting baptized. I haven't. Maybe you'll say, I've been thinking about it. But you're saying I haven't taken the step. I haven't gone into the water and got baptized. If that's you, you'd say, Brother Flanders, well, let's do it the other way. You know where I'm going, though. Who would say I have been baptized? I'm saved and baptized. Raise your hand. Okay, there we go. Now, hands down. Who would say, and you know where I'm going, I'm not tricking you. Who would say, I'm saved, baptized, and are a member of a local Baptist church? Raise your hand. One, two, three. That's good. Now, if you'll stay active, and if you'll pay attention in church, you'll save yourself from your generation and a lot of heartaches. Wow. Now, the other way. Who would say, I'm here this morning, but as far as I know, I'm not a bona fide in the books member at Maranatha Baptist Church, and I'm willing to let you know because you're in the same shoes. Did you know I'm not a member here? Who would say, Brother Flanders, I'm here, but I'm not a member, or, and, I'm not baptized. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven when I die. But the world doesn't recognize me as a Christian because I'm not baptized. And did you know they don't unless you're baptized? Not baptized yet. And you would say, I'm thinking about these things. God is speaking to me. Pray for me. If you got what I just said and you'd let me pray for you, I won't point you out. I won't drag you into the aisle. I won't do anything but stand up here and pray for you without naming you. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm really thinking about taking another step, but I haven't taken it. I know what it is, something I really ought to do. And I'll let a perfect stranger, Rick Flanders, pray for me right now. If that's you, hand up. Now, this is a heads bowed one. Everybody bow our heads. They're going to find their hymn book to play the song Just As I Am in the final moments. But with their heads bowed and our eyes closed, I don't